Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use a reading out of Luke 2 and just to emphasize one of the verses there. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Went last Saturday to Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Wichita for the baptism of our youngest, our newest grandson, Jack. I heard Tommy did an excellent job while I was gone, which is annoying because I'd like him to do a horrible job, but he did well, which is okay, I guess. But after the baptism in the fellowship hall, they ordered pizza in for the large extended family that was there, and we stayed there for kind of a dinner afterwards. And in the middle of all that, Eli, who's the youngest grandson besides that little baby, asked where the bathroom was, to the room in general, and Uncle John said, it's through that door and down the hall. And so Eli hops up and goes to the door and opens the door, and I just watched him freeze at the door, and I figured what was wrong, and I walked over to the door, and we looked, and someone had turned out all the lights in the church. I mean, we were the only ones there, and there were some emergency lights in a couple of places, but any church, you check it out when all the lights are off. They're kind of eerie places. They make noises. And he was looking down the hall of that long, dark hall, and I knew he did not want to make that walk by himself. And so I went over to him, and I said, Eli, I'll walk with you. And he just, relief just flooded his face, and he was all of a sudden ready to go. He just wasn't afraid anymore. Simeon was about to take that long walk that may be the loneliest walk of all. And surely there was relief in his voice when he made that statement that now he could die in peace. He held that little baby and he broke out into celebration, and all of the fear was gone from any speculation that he had. And he said now he could depart this world in peace. It seems to me that wherever your walk will take you in the coming days of your life, even if it's not that long and lonely walk toward the graveyard, we would want to walk at peace. If Simeon found peace for that great journey, surely from his contact with baby Jesus, we can find something for us to take on our journey. But I have to ask a question first. When did he find the peace? Did he live all of his life just waiting for that moment? All the fears, all the worries, all the stress of life all fell away at the very last moment when he held the baby. When did he get to live in peace? I ask the question purely for selfish motives. I want to know, when do I get to live in peace? When do you get to have that moment? We spend a lot of our time waiting. Contrary to a popular myth, February is the longest month of the year. A lot of people don't know that until they live in Kansas. February is the longest month of the year. I forgive Tommy. He's going to California next week, and I forgive him for that. But you owe me one phone call with the temperature, okay? We don't like to wait. And how many times have we said, I can hardly wait, or I can't wait until springtime gets here. I can't wait till this cold weather is done. We're often waiting for some event to happen or some change to occur or some deliverance, and we're waiting for that moment when it's over, and we say, if we can just survive until then, if we can just make it through this until it's over, if we can just get to that moment when it starts, if we can just get to the time when the trouble is taken away from us or it changes, then we can be at peace. And since we believe God is the one who sets the timing of our life, we spend much of our time waiting on God, almost longing for God to keep his promises, longing for God to answer our prayers. We spend much of our time longing for God to change something in our life. And if that longing centers around some problem that we have that weighs us down, it's a trouble that can begin to be burdensome in our lives. And there are times when that burden is so heavy, it's all we can think about. Somebody gave me a hat, says 1964 on it this morning. In 1964, I was in high school, and it was some kind of break from school, and the weather was warm, and my cousins and my brothers and I, there were a bunch of us, and we decided we wanted to play baseball in the warm weather. The trouble of it is, the ones of us that went to Neosho Rapids High School had all of our equipment at the school, so we said, we'll drive We loaded everybody in an old pickup truck, and we drove to school because we thought if the janitor's there, he'll let us in and we'll get our stuff because it's just a small-town school. Well, the janitor wasn't there, and that's when that's when we decided maybe one of the windows was open in the boys' locker room. So we circled around the school, couldn't see anyone, and we let our cousin Mike out. When you want to do something that's a little shaky, you want to put your most responsible person in play, your most responsible people won't do it. So you pick the most irresponsible, and that was Mike. Because he's the one that would do it. We saw him go to the window, gave it a tug, and sure enough, the window opened. Now, what's the statute of limitations? This is 19. I'm safe, right? I just drove the getaway truck, okay? He disappeared into the room. In order not to seem guilty, we just kept circling the block. You know, nine of us in an old truck, quietly circling the block. We circled around. Mike comes running out carrying bats, gloves, everything. Puts it down, slams the window shut, runs to the truck. We have a good time. Go to school on Monday, and the school is abuzz because a vandalism has occurred in the school in the girls' locker room. I remember if we sent Mike to do this, okay? And maybe Mike had never seen the girls. He never admitted to anything. And maybe he'd never seen the girls' locker room, but evidently he didn't know that they put the case of balls right behind the door, and he knocked them all over, and that was the vandalism. And I was so scared the principal was going to walk into the room and call me forward to get me, because I did drive the getaway truck. And Neosho Rapids, Kansas, the entire city knew who did it because it's Neosho Rapids. And I was worried to death. I think around 10 o'clock in the morning, they realized there was nothing in the school to steal except for the electric typewriter. And you would have to have a forklift and a semi to steal the electric, and it was still there. We hid under it during storm watches. So it all went and nothing happened, but I breathed such a sigh of relief that I wasn't in trouble. Have you ever had that moment when there's some worry so big and it just falls away from you? That moment when some trouble is over and you can rest without the worry and the fear is such a moment of relief, and it feels like that kind of peace that Simeon was talking about. Wouldn't it be something if you didn't have to wait for the trouble to be over? Wouldn't it be something if you could live every moment of your life with that kind of peace? Not waiting for it, not fixing it, but to have it all the time. I'm defining peace as not being at war. It's a definition that I like to use because it's simple and I understand it. Peace is a feeling that all is well. Peace is the reality that all is well, and it's threatened when we have a conflict with somebody else because we don't feel at peace. Or more often, it's threatened by a conflict within ourselves when we say something or do something that embarrasses us or shames us or makes us realize that we could have done better or we made a mistake. Peace is often disrupted when we think of our relationship with God, because we know God calls us to be perfect people and to follow the rules and to obey the Ten Commandments. And when we don't do that, we don't feel at peace with God, and we don't feel comfortable praying to God, and we don't feel comfortable worshiping God because we know we failed Him in some way. Wouldn't it be something if you never had to live with that kind of stress or worry or fear in your life? Simeon was ready to die in peace. Is that when you get it? Is that the moment that you get it? You lie on your bed, breathing your last, and gathered around you are your family and your friends, and you know none of the troubles that bothered you a week ago matter anymore. It doesn't matter if the chores are done at your home. Doesn't matter if you fixed that leaky faucet. Doesn't matter if you've paid your bills. Nothing matters anymore because you know 5 minutes from now you're going to open your eyes in the glory that is heaven. So at that moment there is no worry and no fear. Is that when you get the peace that passes understanding? Well, I want to assure you something. You will get that peace at that moment. You will die in that kind of peace. You will gaze into eternity and you will know that that is where you belong, that that is your home, and that that is where you are expected. And no matter how violent your end is, you will go gently into the glory that is heaven. I assure you of that. What if you could have it the day before? What if you could have it the week before? What if you could have that kind of peace right now? I believe the answer is within our reach. I know what you think. What you think is, all you got to do is stop doing wrong things. Don't sin anymore and you'll feel at peace. Or you'll be saying, if God would just remove the burdens from your life, then you'll feel at peace. Or you're saying, if God will just fix all the things that are broken in your life, then you will feel at peace. Those things are not going to happen. I believe God has the power to heal, and God does heal, and I believe that we should be seeking God's assistance in those matters. But if you're going to acquire that peace, you're going to have another route. I believe the answer is a simple thing called faith. Simeon could know all of that peace the moment God gave him a promise that he would see the Savior before he died. No matter what the trouble, there could be an earthquake that leveled the city. Simeon would know that God promised that he wasn't going to die till he saw the Savior. There could be an invasion by a foreign army that threatened to destroy everyone in the city. But Simeon would know God promised he wouldn't die until he saw the baby. Pestilence and famine and all the troubles that could come his way wouldn't change the promise of God. I would like you to show you how you could have peace every moment of your life that has nothing to do with the circumstances of your life. It comes because you know that God keeps his promises, that God is in charge of what happens in your life. I believe you can stand under the weight of a burden right now of an illness, the weight of a burden right now of a worry, the weight of a burden right now of a fear, and stand in that misery and have this peace. The answer does not lie in escape. We cannot just say to God, let me die, and then I'll go to heaven. We cannot say to God, just let me die and I'll be free of all this misery. We don't get to choose that moment that we die. And Simeon is not asking to die. He is simply resting on the promise that God made and God kept. So I believe while you wait for deliverance, you ought to be praying to God for God to change things in your life. Prayer is a fabulous statement of faith that says, you know, God listens to your prayers and God answers your prayers, and you ought to be carrying on a conversation constantly with God. It's just that when you say the prayer and you say amen, I believe then you should go about the business of living without fear, of waiting without worry. Some people seem to have a secret. They live their life like everything is going to be okay, and they laugh and they smile, and when you're with them, you feel like smiling, and you join them in their laughter, and it feels good because somehow they have a calmness and a confidence about them, even when they have troubles. I know that many of you have problems that keep you from having that kind of joy. You carry burdens that are weighty, that don't get lighter as the days go along. And you would be pretending if you acted like the burden was not there. I have a different suggestion. I'm not asking you to live like you don't have burdens. I want you to live like you've heard the promises. I want you to live like you believe the promises are true. The Savior took your sins, the Bible says, and paid for every single one, so you do not have to fear the punishment of your sins. You are not at war with God. You will never live a moment of your life at war with God. You will never spend a single moment of your life hated by God, because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away every sin. God works good out of all the events of your life, the Bible says, so you can be optimistic about your future. God is guarding a home in heaven for you that cannot be destroyed, cannot be taken away, that will always be there for you. I want you to pick up those promises and make them your burden. Fill your arms, fill your heart, fill your mind with these promises, and see if they don't begin to push away the fears and the worries of your life. Begin to say the promises. Begin to make statements about what you believe, even if they don't feel close to you. Begin to make them part of your conversation. I think Simeon woke up every morning and he wondered if this would be the day. And I believe that every other thing was diminished by this one vast promise. He could hear bad news, he could have some trouble, but it would be diminished by the fact that God told him he would see the Savior sometime. I have heard a promise. I have heard a promise that I will dwell forever in the joy of heaven. You have heard a promise that you are loved by God and that you will never die. What a promise. We have seen God keep every single one. We believe, we know he will keep that final promise. Now we wait for that one to be true. We wait for heaven. Don't you think we could wait with the peace that Simeon had? Don't you think we could wait without fear and worry, because we have been promised heaven. We have been promised life that goes on forever. We have been promised that angels will escort our soul to heaven, and we know the promise is true, so we get to live without fear. We get to live without worry, and we get to live in peace. Every moment is changed by the fact that we know we are on the way to heaven. We don't have to be afraid. So we stand with that group of people who is so majestically described in Scripture as those who are standing before the throne, and we are the ones that get to say every day of our life, now we can depart in peace. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering.